Well, as we think a little bit this morning, what we've been hearing about that starting and that going on, do you know, one of the things that we've probably noticed is that hope is wrapped up in all those things. You know, do you remember the one that had the New Year's tweet? You know, it said, Happy New Year. And then it had the picture of the guy weeping, you know, of how it was going on. It was because New Year in 2020 was full of hope. It was full of excitement of what that year had in store for people that maybe had, you know, weddings to look forward to. It maybe had, you know, lots of different things that they were going to look forward to. And then their hopes were changed. Because you see, our hopes, they depend on things. We saw that, didn't we? The grown-up, the man and the little girl. I wonder when he walked to school that first day. I wonder, grown-ups, if you can remember, if you ever had the chance to walk your child to school that first day. I wonder if you ever, as you were walking, were filled with hopes for them. What were your hopes for your children as you walked them to school that first morning? Maybe it was just that they would go in the gate without crying and get really upset. That was maybe just enough for that moment. But what was your hope for that man? I don't know what his hopes were, but obviously he has seen some of the hopes that he had for his daughter being fulfilled, but maybe also he's seen some of his hopes not being fulfilled. Because our hopes in life depend on different things. Boys and girls, we know this, don't we? Because if you say to Mum or Dad this week, you say, Mum, can I go and play in the park this week? Mum might say, yeah, you can, but it'll depend on the weather. Your hopes depend on something. Your hope of going and playing at the park depends on the weather, unless you're just going to really go for it, even regardless of the weather, because you're just so desperate to get out. Or you might say to Mum or Dad, can I go and play with my friend? And Dad says, yeah, you can go and play with your friend, as long as there's time. It'll depend on whether we've got time. We've got other things to do. We'll see how that goes. Or you might be hoping to do well at school or at college. And of course, that depends on things too, doesn't it? It's not guaranteed. That depends on how you get on. Depends on your performance, if you like. And it also depends a little bit on the circumstances and how things happen to go for you. And you might be a parent, you might be a grandparent, and I'm sure you've got hopes for your kids, even the kids that are sitting right beside you right now, kids that are sitting on the sofa beside you at home just now, hopes for them. But of course, we know that those hopes depend on things, don't they? Some of it depends on us and on what we do as parents and grandparents to encourage them and teach them and nurture them. Some of those hopes depend on the children and how they go on. And some of those hopes just depend on circumstance, on things that are out of our control. And you know, when we think about our hope in Jesus, it depends on something too. In fact, it depends on someone, but it depends on something. And I wonder what it depends on. I wonder if our hope in Jesus depends on us going along to church regularly. Wonder if it depends on that. I wonder if it depends on us attending Sunday school all the time. Does our hope in Jesus depend on being at Sunday school regularly? Maybe it depends on who brought us up. Oh, my mum and dad didn't believe in Jesus, so I'll be fine. God, you know, it'll be okay. Maybe it depends on our background. Maybe it depends on our experience. Maybe those are the things that we are putting our trust in. Maybe that's where we find our hope. Maybe we find our hope in the fact that, well, I'm a good person. Maybe that's where we find our hope. Yeah. But you see, if that's where we put our hope, if our hope is on these kind of things, how often we go to church, how often we go to Sunday school, If our hope is based on whether our parents believe in Jesus or whether we've been, you know, brought up that way once upon a time, well, our hope will collapse because it's false hope. It's false hope. I want us to see what Peter says, because Peter writes about a living hope. I want you to listen to these words. See if you can listen out for where Peter talks about a living hope. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he, that is God, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." You see what Peter says? He says there's a living hope, a real and indestructible hope, a hope that won't collapse, a hope that won't fall down, a hope that is completely and utterly indestructible. Now, there's not many things in life that are indestructible. There might be some really strong things that you can think of, like, you know, metal bars or you know, the slabs that we walk on. But really, these things can get broken pretty easily as well. When we think about indestructible things, we might be thinking about Captain America's shield. You know, it's indestructible, isn't it? Nothing can destroy Captain America's shield. It is completely and utterly indestructible. But of course, the problem is Captain America only lives in Marvel, doesn't he? But you see, what Peter's telling us is that there's a hope we can have, a hope that is completely and utterly indestructible. So where does this hope come from? How do we get this great and indestructible hope? Well, look again at those words from 1 Peter with me, would you? Do you see what it says there? It says, according to his. Now, that's somebody, isn't it? If we see the word his, that's somebody. It's God. According to God's great mercy, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope. We get this living hope by being born again. And how do we get born again? Well, because God does something in us and causes us to be born again. Now, just like you, I've got a birth certificate. I've got a birth certificate just like you. It tells me when I was born. And sometimes people, you know, grown up should probably have this experience sometimes. Somebody says, "Oh, I need to see a wee copy of your birth certificate." You have that moment of thinking, "Oh, where on earth is my birth certificate?" You know, they're usually filed away in a safe place, and the only challenge is remembering where the safe place is. But I've got a birth certificate, and it tells me that on the 27th of May, 1984, it tells me that I was born. Right, now you can try and work out the maths later on, right? Stay with me. Don't tune out and think about numbers, right? Stay with me. The 27th of May, 1984, I was physically born. But you see, even though I was born then, because of sin and because of the fall, I wasn't spiritually alive. I was spiritually dead. Peter talks about something here. He says that God causes us to be born again. Born again. It's a strange idea, isn't it? Well, you see, when I was 16 and a half, I was spiritually born. I spiritually came to life because I heard the good news of Jesus Christ. I heard the good news of Jesus dying on the cross and rising again. And I repented and I believed in Jesus. And so when I was 16 and a half, I became a Christian and I was born again. God caused me to be born again. And when I was born again, I had a living hope. It isn't a hope that collapses. It's not a hope in how often I come to church. It wasn't a hope in the fact that my mum and dad believed in Jesus. It wasn't a hope based on the fact that I went to church when I was young or anything like that. It was a hope based on the fact that Jesus had given me spiritual life. I had been born again. And how does God cause us to be born again? Would you see the second last line there? It says that we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the fact that Jesus is alive that means I can be born again. The fact that he is alive means that I can be spiritually alive. Because you see, when Jesus was born again, when Jesus was risen on that first Easter Sunday, when he took on his glorious body, he's going ahead of us. And we're united to him. And what he goes through, we will go through as well. This is our living hope. And nothing can destroy it. But you know, the resurrection proves as well that Jesus is the King. It proves that Jesus is the King. Who's that? Thor, that's right. Thor. And Thor is able to lift the hammer, isn't he? He's able to lift the hammer. And in lifting the hammer, he proves that he is and that he has the right to the throne, doesn't he? And you see, in Jesus' resurrection, Jesus coming back to life, that empty tomb proves that Jesus really is the King. It proves that he really is the Savior of the world. That empty tomb is like Thor's hammer. It shows that Jesus is the only one that allows us to be saved. It is only him that can bring salvation for us. And so what we see is that if there's no resurrection, then there is no birth. There's no spiritual rebirth. There's no being born again. And there is no hope. Without the resurrection, we cannot be born again and we cannot have hope. But you see, it doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on how often we come to Sunday school or how often we come to church. It doesn't depend on being a good person or living the way that we think we're supposed to. It doesn't depend on that. These things are left lying in ruin. It depends on Jesus, on his death and on his resurrection alone. And so if you're a Christian, that living hope began the moment you became a Christian. That before and going on, before I was a Christian, there was no hope. But going on, now that I am a Christian, I have hope. Not hope that will fall down and collapse, but hope that is indestructible. And if you're a Christian, that living hope began the moment you first believed. It's like an Easter egg hunt. I know a number of you were here yesterday doing an Easter egg hunt, and the boys and girls arrived, and they saw the eggs sitting on the table. There was two tables, the one where you came and you started the hunt and one where you finished. And as people arrived, they saw the eggs. And the kids believed that those eggs were real. The kids believed that it wasn't just empty boxes. It wasn't just a big trick, you know, where we made it look as if there was loads of eggs. You know, they believed they were real, proper, legitimate chocolate eggs inside those boxes. But you didn't get the eggs straight away, did you? You didn't get the eggs straight away. You had to go around and you had to complete the challenges around the Easter trail. You had to go around marking off the sheep. And then at the end, you got your prize. And there was a few people kidding the boys and girls on that I might eat them all before they got to the end, but that was just kidding on. There was an egg there for you. You had seen it before you'd even started going round. And you know, if you're a Christian, the empty tomb is like that for us as well. We know that Jesus came back to life. We are sure that Jesus' new life is real. And we already have that new life, but we're waiting. We're waiting, not yet receiving the prize, not yet receiving that moment when we go into his presence forever, but we are waiting, waiting for Christ's return. We're waiting. And if you're a Christian, the empty tomb, the risen Jesus means that you have life. He's alive, so we are alive in him. He has risen, so we will also rise with him. He has conquered sin and death, and so we too will conquer sin and death. And it's not wishful thinking. It's not like waiting to see whether or not the weather's going to be sunny or rainy. It's not wishful thinking. It is dependent on what Jesus has done. It is a sure and a certain hope. Because you see, it's not waiting to see if Jesus is alive, but it's looking back and believing that he truly was alive. We see what God has done. We see that. And we have that living, certain, sure hope that is utterly indestructible. And you know, this hope can be yours this morning as well. Remember that these words we've just written, they were written by Peter. Peter, the guy who betrayed Jesus three times, that Peter. He came to realize that because of God's great mercy, we could be born again to a living hope, a sure hope. It's not based on my performance. It's not based on what I do. It is based completely on what Jesus has done. The moment that everything changed is the moment when we're born again. The moment we're set free. The moment that death lost its grip on me. The moment we find salvation in Jesus' name. We're going to sing those words just now. We're going to sing those words and we're going to sing about what it is to believe in Jesus and have that living hope. And you know, I want to invite you, as we sing that, if you have never, and it doesn't matter whether you're a child or a grown-up, it doesn't matter your background or anything, it doesn't, you know, if you have never put your hope in Jesus and Jesus alone, and this goes for folks at home as well, if you've never put your hope in Jesus, if you've been trusting that somehow God will look after you or save you because of the stuff that you've done, or maybe you've written off any hope because of the stuff that you've done. The good news of the gospel, the good news of the gospel is that there is a sure and a certain hope. There is a hope of salvation for you and for me. And it's not on my performance. It's not on what I've done. It is purely on Jesus. And we can be born again to a living hope that is utterly indestructible. And so we're going to sing that song, and then I'm going to come up and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give folks an opportunity. If you have never repented and believed in Jesus before, I'm going to give folks the opportunity to do that. And then we'll sing a final hymn. I'm going to invite the guys to come up just now.